There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the 50 Days of DragonCon podcast presented by the Unique Geek and featuring people such as Lee. Lee, the beachgoer. Lee, the beautiful. Lee, the tanned. Lee, the probably has sand in places she doesn't want to talk about. Lee, how you doing?
And itches. But I'm great. You know what? Because I'm first of all on vacation, plus then I get to also talk about Dragon Con. So this is like the best of both worlds. So it's kind of cool. So I'm doing that. But we're also just I'm on like all these other, there's so much going on now. We're getting close, John. There's so much going on now. I can always know when I'm going to be overloaded is you and I start talking like every day on a podcast.
Yeah, because we have to get
all these out. And that's a good thing, though. I kind of like it because then it makes me like go faster.
Go faster. Wow, okay.
Go faster. Yeah. I have to go faster. There's more to do. There's stuff to do.
So we chatted a little bit in the last podcast about the director's meeting. And I did note here that... the Star Wars at Dragon Con, SWATDC, by the way, if you want to follow them on Twitter, mentioned that they are security and tech ops is severely in need of folks. And I believe, probably security mostly because of, because we've expanded the scope and the areas that we have, that they have to cover. But go ahead, Lee.
Those are always areas, security and tech ops, and often registration, even at con, are always still looking for people. And sometimes, you know, they're looking for people that can do a whole 20 hours, but sometimes they're also looking for people who maybe can just do 5 or 10. You know, I can do a couple of hours, or I can do something early before con, or, you know, my flight didn't go out till Tuesday. What can I help with after con? So if you have something like that and you are willing to volunteer and do work, I mean, guys, we do work. It's not all fun. You can even ask my track staff. We have to set up a room on Thursday and tear it down on Monday, even though we don't even put up that much. It still takes us time. So we'd love to do that. And volunteers are always good. And you can go to the DragonCon.org site and you can, how to volunteer is right there. And we would love you to go do that. But do understand sometimes, you know, you already have your badge. This isn't about you getting, you know, a free badge or, well, it's not really free because you do work for it. But this isn't about that. This is really just about wanting to give back to the con. And I think one of the things, John, is we're talking about a lot of these podcasts. We're kind of hearing this a lot. Is a lot of people like to give back. We're talking about our charity stuff that we talked about a little bit. We're talking about, we just talked to Kevin about newbies. You're going to hear it. I think you've already heard it from some of our directors, Dan with media. We always want to be giving back. And the guest we have on tonight is somebody who has given back to con in a lot of different ways. And so we want to welcome back Zan. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Glad to be back.
Glad to be back. Zan, for those of you who have not listened to us for years, and why not? They're right there on the Unique Geek podcast. Go on, go listen all back. It's only about 50, 60 hours of stuff.
The any track mentions on there are just as accurate now as they were then. So
very likely. But no, and Zan, you are somebody who you give back to the community in a very different way. One of the things, the way we got involved with you was that last year or 2 years ago now, it all runs together.
Two years ago, you actually
volunteer and you kind of mentor the new Dragon Connie. Connors one-on-one, or basically I think a 5-on-1, 7-on-1 kind of situation. So talk a little bit about that. What do you do and why do you do it and how long you've been doing it?
Well, I think it's been about 4 or 5 years now. Like you said, it all kind of runs together, but what I started to do was, it happened, I'm an Eternal member, and we can talk about that a little bit if you haven't covered that topic before.
That'd be great.
A There's a party on Thursday night for just on Thursday night for Eternal members, and I went to that and I met somebody who didn't really have anybody to show him around. And so I just kind of said, hey, I'll be your phone-a-friend for the weekend. And then we texted during the whole weekend where he would say, hey, I'm in the Hyatt. What should I do now? And I would kind of point him in a direction, and I got to know his interests. And we just went back and forth all weekend. Sometimes we ran into each other. We would meet up at a party at night. And I was just kind of guiding him through the weekend. And then at the end of the weekend, he took me out to dinner in the real world, which always feels a little bit bizarre to, like, go to a restaurant in normal non-costuming clothes, and yep. said, thank you very much, and it was a really fun experience for him. And we've kept in touch on and off since then. He is a member of the military, and he's not always in the country. But sometimes he's able to make it back for Dragon Con, and we just kind of reconnect then. And I had such a fun time doing that, it just sort of happened the first year, that the next year I made it happen on purpose. I actively looked for first-timers that wanted somebody to show them around. The first year I came to Dragon Con, it was just on somebody's recommendation. I was just talking to somebody at another convention, and they just could not stop talking about how awesome Dragon Con was. And I was like, well, it's a 10-hour drive. I'm new to the area. I don't know anybody. Is it really that good? And they were like, yes. So I went, and I just immediately fell in love with Dragon Con. But that was back like 12 years ago when it was just the Hyatt and the Marriott. And I just cannot imagine being a first timer now. It's just so big and overwhelming. So I just try to help people out on a one-on-one level. And that's my way of giving back to the community. I'm also a member of the online Facebook group that Kevin Batchelder has for the newbies, and I know you talk to him on a regular basis. And that's something that I think is really great prep work, to do your research before the convention and figure out kind of what you're interested in. And then when you actually get to the convention, I think it's nice if you have somebody there that can help you on site, especially since over the years, cell phone coverage has been sporadic at best.
Yeah.
You would think by now that they would roll in some portable towers over there, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
We did hear that at least two of the hotels have gotten some more tower, better reception. That they've done,
oh, really?
I don't know if they've done towers or whatever, but two of them, and I cannot remember which hotel.
They're,
but yes, so they are realizing this. I know one of them, I want to say one of them was a Sheraton, but please don't hold me to that. I'll try to find it. Okay.
Yeah. Especially the basement of any of the hotels, especially
yes.
the Sheraton,
yeah.
those always seem to be
oh,
dead
God,
zones.
Yeah.
So what I'm trying to do now is arrange with my friends a place and time to meet every night. Because you just can't count on cell phone signal anymore. The app is fantastic, though. I love that. And I really do hope that, you know, like it took them a while to fix registration, but that was something within Dragon Con's control. Dragon Con can only do so much about the cell phone signal. So I hope it continues to get better, but I think it's smart to prepare as if it's not. And that way you're covered either way.
Yeah. That's very good advice for anybody. Make sure that, you know, if you have friends that you're trying to meet somewhere, that you get the plans when you're above ground to everybody.
Or meet for breakfast every morning or for lunch, or just have some kind of daily plan where you can meet up with people. And I always tell my friends, because most of the friends that I go with are local, although I do have friends I just see at Dragon Con, I always do tell them that, you know, if I'm not there, it's because I'm doing something like, oh, I'm going to go see a Patrick Stewart panel, and you know how everything can get changed around at the last second. So I always make sure to tell people that my attendance is tentative, like, because I'm there to do convention things as well. So, you know, I can always see you the next day or the next week or when I get back home. But when I'm at the convention, I like to enjoy the convention activity. So that's my first priority.
Yeah. So you're going to attempt to try and do something new this year. Isn't that right? For you, at least?
Oh, let's see. Well, yeah, there's a couple things.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to hopefully be helping out with the newbie tour again.
Right.
And I will hopefully be able to, again, because of scheduling, things can change last minute. But the way it sounds now is I'm going to be able to also be at the newbie meet and greet. So I'm excited about that because Kevin's programming is hopefully going to be on the official schedule from what I hear. So I'll be doing that. And then for the first time ever this year, I've been looking into opportunities to volunteer because I get there early and I stay late. So there's an area that said they might have room for me. Of course, they don't have the schedule out yet. It's too early for that. But hopefully I'll be doing some setup and tear down, and I think that'll be a really great way to meet some new people.
And I just want you all to hear one of the biggest things she said right there, which is that she's volunteering because she's a great person, but also that it's too early for a schedule yet. So don't ask, John. Don't ask. Too early. Don't go there, people. Don't. No,
yeah,
but that is so cool because you've always come as an attendee, and we're going to talk about your eternal status in a second, but you've never volunteered or done this in an official capacity in a work way. So this is kind of neat for you.
No, I haven't, and I've been going to conventions for over 20 years, and I've always been adamant that I just want to be a fan because I'm kind of a workaholic, and I have been for a long time in my day-to-day life, and so conventions for me have always been my weekend out. But I have friends that have been volunteering at local conventions for the last couple years, and I've heard a lot about it for many, many years now. And I've been thinking about it for a while, and I decided I don't want to give up the local convention experience for me, which is when I can just, by local convention, I mean I tend to go on, I either just day trip it for a Saturday, or I go for a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or maybe just Saturday, Sunday, depending on the event. But for Dragon Con, that's my whole big annual thing that I plan my year around. So I thought for Dragon Con, I just wanted to be more a part of that community, like you said. So I wanted to still be able to experience the convention during the main part of it, but still be able to volunteer. And since I have the advantage of usually being able, my bosses are fantastic about this, since I have the advantage of usually being able to get off more days off work than a lot of my friends, that's why I thought that would be a good way for me to contribute was with the setup and teardown, especially because I've heard you on your podcast talk a lot about the departments that have need for people, and that seems to be a consistent need year after year.
And it is because, which your boss, that's great. I'm also able to do that. John has been able to do that, in that we can come in and, because this is also, I mean, first of all, it is a time to see your friends. I only get to see some of my friends really other than in between panels and things like that or on panels because sometimes we grab somebody and make them work, me, John. The other thing there is that, you know, we do get that, but some people who do want to volunteer, like, I can volunteer some, but I have, you know, I got to leave on Monday at noon because I got to drive 5 hours and I got to be working, I got to be fresh as a daisy for work come Tuesday morning. And so I think that's great that people are willing to volunteer that way, that you're giving back in that way. I also want to say, though, even if you can't volunteer that way, and that's great, but also remember we do have the charity drive. I'm going to talk about this a lot, guys, because this is kind of a cause that's near and dear to my heart. And, remember, you got a lot of ways you can give back to Dragon Con. They're going to have food drives around the convention for things that can go to community food banks. So, you know, as John talked about, peanut butter, you know, boxes of mac and cheese, things like that. Some of us grew up on that mac and cheese. We don't know what real mac and cheese is. So those are not bad things, and those things really do help these families. And if you can go run to Publix and drop a couple things in, hey, that'll be helping some families. But so a lot of different ways to get back. But I love how you're doing that, and this is an area that always needs people because there's a lot to do to put up and tear down this show across the board. It's kind of amazing, and you'll see that firsthand. Yeah.
Nice. Now, so we also talked a little bit about, at least he emailed me about hotels. This is a big thing, especially for newbies, because if you're a newbie, odds are you don't have a hotel yet, or you didn't think ahead to.
You didn't think you needed one yet.
Didn't think.
Yeah. 6 weeks out.
Yeah. So Zan, can you share some tips and some hope for those that
are the
hopeless?
Well, there's two different approaches to getting a hotel room, I think. One is actually getting a host hotel room when they do the official bookings, which, like you said, if you're a newbie, you probably don't even know about this until it's too late. Mm-hmm. I really think the first thing is budgeting. You have to know your budget. If you are new to doing conventions, period, you probably, a lot of it depends on how far you're coming from. Are you going to eat in your room? I mean, there's just a lot to consider with budget. So hopefully this isn't the first convention you've ever been to, because then you can use previous conventions to kind of get an idea of your budgeting needs. But mm-hmm. I would say I've never spent, let me think. I mean, I think 1 year I did Dragon Con for $500, but I usually budget $1,000, and that includes my transportation costs, and I drive 10 hours from Florida. If you're flying, that's a whole different thing. I don't usually need to spend that much money, but I think that's a smart, more than you should need. And I always like to estimate high for my budgeting. So that's the first thing. And then the other thing is the Dragon Con website, while it's fantastic and has been vastly improved, doesn't tend to be very up to date with the hotel information. So I think for getting information about the hotels, your social online communities, your Facebook group, and the dedicated communities online that exist, like, for example, the Dragon Con Rooms Live Journal group, or there are a couple Facebook groups. Dragon Con Hotel Connection is one of them. Another one is Dragon Con Rooms as a Facebook group. They're all going to have more consistently updated, accurate, timely information than the website will. Particularly when they release the link that you need to click to book through Passkey, which a lot of the hotels, the main host hotels, use a system called Passkey to book. And those hotels will go in under 15 minutes. So you really have on the ball. You really have to be on the ball with that one. And anybody who saw the Big Bang Theory episode this year where they're all just sitting hitting refresh to get tickets to Comic-Con, it's actually a lot like that.
Oh, boy.
So I think the smartest thing to do is to have a plan B. So, for example, if you want to stay in the Hyatt, but the Marriott bookings open first, but you would be willing to stay in the Marriott, go ahead and try to book the Marriott, because then at least you'll have a plan B.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you can't overestimate having a plan B. I'm not saying, you know, I'm not advocating like, oh, you should book 10 rooms with non-refundable deposits, because a lot of them do have non-refundable deposits so you don't want to spend money that you can't get back.
Yeah, be sure that you check that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the hotels now are doing the thing where you can't actually, some of the host hotels are not transferring the rooms, because what was happening is people were getting 5 and 10 reservations and then transferring them to other people and making a profit on that. This is not what we want to have happen. So there is kind of a limitation now on some of the transferring of rooms as well. I think the other thing with your plan B too, as you're talking about the host hotels, is also remember, you're in the downtown Atlanta area. We have a lot of extra hotels that are around there that are overflow hotels. So those are also good to look at. Those are listed on the website. A lot of those still fill up, but sometimes you're going to have to kind of look a little bit out, but don't feel too bad about that. That's not always bad. Everybody's had to do it at least 1 year, and you know, it works out. You still have a great con.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, when I first started coming, I didn't know anybody, and I hadn't started rooming with random people from the internet yet, which I do now. So I stayed in a hostel, actually, and I walked to Dragon Con from the Atlanta hostel, and then I took a cab back because it was late at night. So that was a good hike, but that was good for exercise. And then eventually I started meeting people and staying in host hotels. And you're exactly right. You're not supposed to be able to transfer. And if you want to cut this part out, we can. But I've been able to transfer rooms when you're not supposed to. So I could give you hints on that. The key is not to use the word transfer.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, what was the key word then? What would you call it?
Well, the way I've been able to do it, and I've helped a bunch of my friends do this too, is, again, do not ever use the word transfer. If you have a reservation and you read the fine print in your confirmation, and it says this is non-transferable, and generally you'll see that information before you even book the room too.
Right.
What you do is you add somebody's name onto your reservation by calling the hotel, because you're probably not going to be able to do it online.
Mm-hmm.
But you call the hotel and you add somebody's name to the reservation, and then you have that person call and replace your credit card with theirs.
I did that exactly. I did that exact same thing for our buddy out in Ireland, Aaron. He needed a room, and we had one for the Westin. And we had one for where the I hate place. I don't like to talk about it because it's so cool. The other place, the secret place that I go to, what do you call it? We did that exact same thing, which we just moved him, put him on the reservation, and then just had him, a day or two later call back and say, okay, look, I want to put my credit card on the thing. And then he dropped me off and then it was all done. Boom, boom.
And I want to say that is not what the hotels get upset about, nor does anybody else, because they know. I mean, it's sometimes very difficult to do things like this, and you're doing things like that. But what they get more upset is the people that are kind of trying to hoard the rooms and then make a profit from them. So I think
definitely. Advocating that at all.
Oh no, no, right.
You know, but there's a lot of times when you, like you said, if you're a newbie and you didn't know you wanted to go, and now you're like, hey, I want to join my friend. It can be really difficult to, you know, especially if you want to stay with your friends and your friend already booked the room and your name's not on the reservation and now they're not able to go, but they want to give you the room. I think they are getting more strict, and sometimes the only way I've been able to get things done is with politeness and persistence. Call the hotel between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I never call first thing in the morning because I want people to have their coffee. And I just accept the fact that I might get transferred around a while before there's somebody who's able to help me. I call the hotel directly, not their 800 number, and I ask to speak to in-house reservations. And so I don't want to call like at 4:45 right before they close at 5 o'clock, because, you know, nobody likes somebody that comes into the restaurant like 5 minutes before they're supposed to close. So I like to call around 4 p.m. at the latest and just politely talk to person after person after person until I find somebody who can help me, because sometimes they'll just say, oh, this reservation doesn't allow any modifications. And then you just have to politely find a way to talk them into it and just say, hey, I'm not trying to change anything on the room. I'm not trying to transfer it. I just want to add a name here. So you're doing it in different steps. You're adding a name first, and then you're having another person put their credit card information on. And also, don't forget to update the email address so that your friend that you gave the room to gets the confirmation emails.
Yes.
Very important. The other thing we were talking about, because we're kind of bouncing around, but hey, this is our podcast and we can do that.
Right.
You're also an eternal member. An eternal member. What is an eternal member? When did you do it and why did you do it?
Well, when I first heard about it, it was just through talking to people, because there was a period of time when they didn't even mention it on the website, and there were all these different rumors about they were going to stop offering it or they didn't offer it anymore. But an eternal membership is basically a lifetime pass. You pay more for your membership and then you never have to pay again. So now it's $2,000. So if you do the math, and you figure that you would pay the cheapest price possible if you pay for your ticket a year ahead of time, it's going to take you 20 years to pay it off. A lot of people I've talked to, when they got it, it was only going to take them 5 or 10 years to pay it off. So it is pretty expensive at this point, and the price jumps that I'm aware of went over the years from $450 to $500 to $750 to $1,000 to $1,500 to $2,000. I've never heard of it going on sale. And I've never heard of the price going down, and nobody ever seems to know when the price jumps are going to be. I've never seen that advertised or even heard a rumor of that online. So if you're interested, if you already think you're going to be a long-term DragonCon person, then there's no better time than the present because the price is never going to go down. As far as what you get for the membership, like I mentioned, on Thursday night there's a party, which many celebrities have dropped into over the years. So that's been actors, writers, people just getting in early like you for DragonCon. And they've been having that Thursday night party for as long as I can remember. I became an Eternal member in 2005. So I think that's really neat. It's just a great way to start off the weekend. And back in 2005, there wasn't nearly as much happening on Thursdays, and now there's a ton of stuff happening on Thursdays. I think of Thursday as kind of fan day. It's our day when we all just kind of reconnect with each other and get to hang out before the real scheduled activities start on Friday. But that's starting to change now with the newbie tour and the newbie programming starting on Thursday. So Thursday is the new Friday. Wednesday is the new Thursday. It's, you know, everything's getting pushed back a day.
Oh, help us. But yeah, no, and I like that. One thing I do want to say about Eternal memberships is you're right. We don't know when they go up or down, or they don't go down. We don't know when they go up and all of that, but Eternal memberships are just for you. Your name is on it. So it is never, ever transferable. If, God forbid, something happens to you, it's gone.
That's true.
It's not something you can't will it to somebody.
I was just
going to
ask that question.
So,
yeah, it's not transferable. It's not refundable. It also, I should emphasize this, especially if you're used to going to, like, creation conventions or conventions. I've heard of WizardCon. I haven't been to those. But kind of the more big, organized convention center type experiences. An Eternal membership is not a VIP experience. DragonCon does not have that. So being an Eternal member does not give you any special privileges. You don't get to the front of the bathroom line or, you know, you don't get any preference for hotel room booking, like whatever rumors you might have heard about what Eternal members get. You get a Thursday night party, and your line for picking up your badge is in a different place. It's been in the Marriott for the last couple of years. Before that, it was in the Sheraton, but now it's been in the Marriott previously, so it'll probably be in the Marriott again this year. I haven't heard anything different, but I like that. You know, there are other conventions where you can pay for a gold ticket or a VIP pass, and you get different privileges and maybe a swag bag, and I like how egalitarian everything is at DragonCon.
Very true.
Yes.
That is actually one of the things we all love. Because I think people sometimes ask that about directors and others. They're like, well, so what do you get? And I'm like, I get to work, and I love it.
To me, being an Eternal member, it just says that DragonCon is my thing, and I'm committed to trying to come every year. It's something that I foresee being a part of my life for a very long time.
And it's actually one of the things, if I had thought about 14 years ago, I would have probably done for my son. I know some people who have done that. Actually, they've bought them for their kids because I can see him going to DragonCon for the rest of his life as long as he is able to get there. You know, and I think that would have been a great thing. And I think that's, again, some people do it because, you know, we are the geeks and we're keeping ourselves, and some people do it because we're raising the next generation of geeks. And I think those are both kind of awesome reasons to do it. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the sneakiest thing I ever heard is a friend of mine, they were thinking of having another kid, and so they were like, if I give my kid the same name as me, then I can buy an Eternal membership for myself, and when I'm dead, my child can use it, and they'll never know. And I was like, that is evil genius. Like, I don't know if that would work, but just the fact that somebody would think of that, I thought says a lot
about
the level. Yeah, that says a lot about your level of fandom that you would even think of something like that.
Yeah, I mean... That is kind of crazy.
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned in your email, there's we talked a little bit. You said, you know, you've been finding random people on the internet to share rooms with, which, you know, seems weird. But how are you finding and screening the roommates? And you also point out here how not to wake up in a bathtub full of ice with a kidney missing.
Well,
always important. We like our kidneys. We did.
Yeah. I realize that that's another option for people is, you know, for some people, the hotel room you stay in, while overflows are great and a fantastic option that definitely should not be discounted. For some people, if you have a particular reason that you want a specific hotel or maybe, like, I like to do lots of things on lots of tracks, but some people will spend most of their convention in one or two rooms, in a specific track room or volunteering in a specific area. And so for you, you might really want, I've noticed a lot of people get very attached to their hotels. They're like, we stay in the Hilton because we love karaoke, or we're gamers and we're staying in whatever hotel the gaming is in this year. So I'm like that too. I have a favorite hotel. And like I said, I do have a lot of friends that go to Dragon Con, but unfortunately they can't get off as many days as I can, which means that a lot of them like to stay Friday through Monday, and I'm staying Wednesday through Tuesday now. So I need to stay with people that can help me split an equal share of the room. And the way I've been able to do that is by finding roommates online. And I think that's exactly the correct terminology, is screening roommates, because you need to be able to find people that you're going to be compatible with. So I am a member, like I said, of a number of online communities. And so what I do is I put ads out online every year saying, after I've gotten a room, after the booking has happened, and I say, here's the hotel room I got. And mention my contact information and a couple things about the room. And then I have this huge email with like all sorts of things about my preferred room environment and the budget and everything that's important to me about a room environment, so that when somebody answers my post, I can say, okay, this is the kind of room environment that I have. Is this what you're interested in? And then usually we email back and forth a little bit. Usually they have some questions, and then eventually we get on the phone and we talk, because I find things will come out in a conversation just sort of naturally that might not happen if you're just emailing or texting back and forth. So, for example, things about, you know, when you're going to get up in the morning, when you're going to go to sleep at night, smoking in the room, drinking. Some people like to party in the room. Other people like to have their room as a sanctuary. All these things need to be worked out in advance so that you all want the same thing out of a room. And another big thing is payment. Because if you're rooming with somebody that you don't know or you've never met before, you know, that's risky on both sides. If your roommate doesn't show up, then everybody else has to pay more. But on the other hand, you know, you have to be able to trust that the person you're sending money to, that they're not a scam either. So that's really care. You know, people have different ways of handling that. Some people want all the money in advance, PayPal or whatever. I just require a deposit, and then I tell people that you don't get your deposit back unless I replace you as a roommate. So that incentivizes people, if they do have to cancel, to let me know right away so that I have time to replace you as a roommate. Because, you know, life happens and everybody wants to go to Dragon Con, but sometimes you can't. And then I also tell everybody to budget extra in case somebody does have to cancel. The last time somebody had to cancel on me, my room back then had 6 people in it. So it was going down from 6 people to 5. But now I keep the roommates to, me included, a total of 4 people. So if you go down from 4 to 3, you know, that's a bigger price jump.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is.
So I just try to, like, lay it all out there. So, for example, if you like to smoke, the Hyatt's probably a great hotel for you because they have a balcony. Mm-hmm. But I've roomed with people who have needed breathing machines, so it was really important to say, okay, we can't have smokers in the room because it would be a health risk to this other person here who has a breathing machine. So health considerations are another big thing that has to be discussed. So, or, you know, maybe you have a medication that needs to be refrigerated. You're going to have a refrigerator in your room. That adds to the cost. I like to get Wi-Fi in my room, which honestly is hit and miss, but that also adds to the cost. So there's always a cheaper room than staying in a host hotel and getting some extras. But it's just about what you want your experience to be and kind of knowing that up front and just being really honest about it. And that's the part where, you know, I've never woken up in a bathtub full of ice because I've had these extensive conversations with people where we figure all that out in advance. And I think where you get into trouble is, you know, if you just send a couple texts back and forth and you think you have an understanding, two people can have very different ideas about what they want out of a hotel room if you haven't actually really discussed it.
That is very, very true. Yeah. I mean, it is one of the risks, of course, with fortunately over the years, if you've being a newbie, I think is where this would most impact you. But over the years, you probably have met people at Dragon Con and gotten to know them a little bit. So you can trust them, or that you might know a friend of a person that's looking for a place, and they may not necessarily know that person directly, but you do trust the person that's referring them to you or whatever. But being a newbie, of course, that's always the risk. And by the way, sleeping in the in the hallways is not an option.
No, or sleeping under the gaming tables, not an option.
I mean, it's not like it doesn't.
Sleeping in the hallways is not an option. Sleeping in the gaming tables, trying to find a small, quiet corner somewhere to sleep is not an option. Don't do that, people.
Now, you may occasionally doze off, Lee.
You said, staying with a friend of a friend, I remember hearing the advice about don't room with your best friend at college. Just because somebody's your friend doesn't mean you're roommate compatible.
Right.
I think you stayed with a lot of different friends, I think we've all learned this lesson. There are people that are great to hang out with, but if you're a room full of nighttime people and your friend needs to get up at 4 a.m. because they're a convention volunteer, you know, that's, again, something that maybe you're okay with it. Maybe you're not okay with an alarm going off at 4 a.m. in the morning. So, again, that's just something you want to discuss, because even people you know well, you all are going to be having very different convention experiences that you want.
Now, Zan, let me ask.
Very true.
Let me ask you about this year's con. Is there anything in particular that you're looking forward to or you want to catch this year? I know it's still kind of early because all the they might start rolling in some other guests as things get closer. But is there anything that's caught your eye so far?
I'm honestly most excited about meeting new people through volunteering.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the guests, honestly, there's been so many good guests in recent years that I've really enjoyed seeing. Patrick Stewart, John Barrowman, Richard Dean Anderson. I just feel like it's been just this embarrassment of riches in terms of guests. And the guests changed up until the very last second. And I feel like this year there hasn't really been a lot announced up until this point. And also there seems to have been just an explosion of other conventions in the past couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough to know what guests are going to be, just because they're doing conventions in general. There's a lot of other things going on the same weekend as Dragon Con, which I feel wasn't necessarily true even a few years ago. And now there's just more and more events. So I try not to get too attached to any one guest. I would never recommend coming just for one guest, because cancellations can literally happen until the last second. I've been sitting in the audience for a panel when they say, oh, this guest isn't coming. And there wasn't in the Daily Dragon. It wasn't on Twitter. It was nothing. You're sitting in the audience going, we have a worldwide, you know, information live network, and nobody knew until 5 minutes before that this wasn't going to happen. Or like the Walking Dead panel last year. The guests were actually there, but they were in the signing room and didn't make it until to their panel. So I try not to get too excited about individual guests, but I did freak the heck out when the Muppets came last year.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
I was like, I never in a million years thought I would get to meet a Muppet, and then it was so awesome. I was so excited. I went full-on fangirl and, like, was screaming the theme song with the rest of the audience. So I think it's the things that you don't expect, because just when you think you're like, I've seen everything, I'm an eternal member, I've seen Patrick Stewart 5 times, and then you're like, oh my God, it's Red Fraggle. So I love that.
That's the kind of thing too. I think that's the fun thing, is because you're
you don't even know some of the things you're going to go, oh my God, that was so cool, until you're there. Until you're in it.
It's just really hard to tell.
Yeah, I am so jealous that everybody got to meet Red Fraggle, and I can't stand it because I didn't get to meet Red Fraggle. I saw her in the parade.
Well, the Atlanta Museum of Puppetry, I've been there because sometimes I get, I used to do things the day before or the day after. I would just take a day in Atlanta. So I have seen a bunch of things in Atlanta. And it sounded to me like what from they were saying last year is, you know, that they had a great time. And I've noticed that happens over and over again. You get over and over again. You get a couple people from a group and then more people and then more people. That happens over and over again with TV shows, like with Battlestar Galactica. You had a couple guests and then a couple more guests and then the whole cast is there. And I'm really hoping the same thing happens with the Muppets.
I know. Well, I mean, it's the same thing that happened for Warehouse 13. And you're right. It's happened with shows and other things. And we have a great, we've talked to him before. We have a great, puppetry track director who knows a lot of people and gets a lot of people in here. And that is just so much fun. So yeah, I hope so. We hope more and more Muppets. It did hit me though that my son did not know who the Fraggles were.
Aww.
Oh,
well,
no.
it's never too late to learn. And like you said, with Warehouse 13, I was at a convention not 6 months ago where I specifically asked Eddie McClintock in the Q&A panel if the actress who plays Claudia, Allison, I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Scagliotti, I think.
I think it's Scagliotti, yeah.
Okay.
I'll find out the truth. Yeah.
I asked if she was going to be doing any conventions in the future, and he said no. And then the next thing you know, she's coming to Dragon Con. So you just, you never know.
Well, and you never know because people also, you know, things change. I mean, I will be very honest, getting Patrick Stewart, the thought of Patrick Stewart doing conventions like this just stuns me, and I'm thrilled he does it. But that was something years ago wouldn't have happened. 10, 15 years ago, that wasn't, and now it is. People are doing them. They're seeing conventions as more mainstream. So I think we're seeing more and more guests and actors. I also think, and I was actually talking when we did a Eureka Warehouse 13 panel a couple of years ago. We got on we did two of them, year one and year two. And one of the things that kind of came up was, you know, most of the people now that are actors grew up in loving something sci-fi, whether it was Star Wars or Star Trek or Battlestar Galactica or something. They have that kind of background. So this idea of sci-fi and conventions and all that isn't as unusual as maybe it used to seem. So I think that's a part of something that's kind of awesome as well at this point.
Yeah, and I think a show used to be on for a while before the actors started doing conventions, and now you'll see actors from shows in the first season, like we've had Defiance actors already, and maybe that's partly because it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, and a lot of Sci-Fi Channel actors have been to Dragon Con and done science fiction conventions in general for years and years, and maybe they're really starting to see conventions as more of an outreach than they used to. So, you know, like Dominion is a new show this year, and, you know, maybe we'll get guests from that, because, again, that's a Sci-Fi Channel show, so we know they know about us.
Right, and you never know. And as you say, as we always say, first of all, nothing's done until it's done. Until the panel is going on, you never know. Your show might get somebody at, you know, if you're really a big fan of a show, you might get somebody added to it the week or two before Dragon Con. That happens, and that's awesome when it does. You know, and we don't know exactly who's still, they're probably still working on some people. I wasn't at the director's meeting, this week, but I'm gonna find out if anybody has any, yes, they said they were working on things. They don't ever tell us who. But, so that's the kind of thing that I think is great. So, but, is there anything, you know, you just talked about this is what you're expecting. The thing you're looking forward to is meeting everybody. Looking back now, and this is John's last question. So, John, I'm stealing your question.
All righty. Yes, ma'am.
All right. So, looking back at the first convention you went to, what is the one thing that you did that you went, oh, I shouldn't have done that? Or the one thing that, yeah, no, that's how John is asking it. What's the one thing you did that you went, yep, nope, shouldn't have done that?
My first convention ever?
Well, your first big convention or a convention that was like, oh.
Or even just Dragon Con.
This isn't just a fandom gathering. This is a con.
Well, my first convention ever, I think I was 16, and I took my little sister, and it was Jimmy Doohan, actually, in Cincinnati, Ohio. And that's what hooked me on going to conventions, because he was such a gentleman. It was just such an amazing experience, and I had literally just seen a flyer somewhere and wanted to go, and my dad let me because I was in high school, so I had to ask permission. And he was just fantastic, and I just thought, I want to do this again. So I really didn't have any negative experiences with my first convention, and this was a small one in an individual hotel. It was many years of going to small conventions like that before I went to a bigger one or one in a convention center. At the first year I went to Dragon Con, that was just two hotels. And up until that point, that was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. So first Dragon Con really kind of blew me away, because I hadn't been to one even at a convention center yet. And I just really enjoyed the whole experience. I couldn't really pick out one specific thing even. That's a really tough question. You got me on that one.
Well, let me ask you this last question then. My last question, which is, if you could mentor any person, living or fictional even, who would you like to basically take a walking tour of Dragon Con and mentor over Dragon Con experience with?
Oh, wow. I've never actually thought of that. I kind of enjoy meeting new people and seeing as far as mentoring people, that's always just a matter of somebody expressing interest, and then I see if we have enough common interest that I think that they think I would be a good guide for them. Mm-hmm. If we have no interest in common, I might not be able to properly direct you, because I would basically be like, ask the information booth. But
is there a famous person, a celebrity that you would
like a celebrity?
Yeah, sure.
That's new to conventions. Well, you know what? I did see Garrett, the head of Trek Track.
Garrett Wong?
I did see, yeah, Garrett Wong. Yeah. I saw him at his first or second ever convention. I was in the audience, and he was just I think he had just done, the only convention he'd done previous to that was the Big Creation Con out in Las Vegas, which is the big Star Trek one that every year they do out there. And he was just so wide-eyed and young, and I had been going to conventions for many years at this point, and I wish that I could have mentored him back then, because it really seemed like they just threw him into the Las Vegas convention, and he didn't know what hit him. Like, nobody prepared him for anything. So I wish I could have been there to guide him, and, you know, look how far he's come now.
Yeah.
Yeah. He hosts a lot of conventions, does a lot of work on the circuit, and he's been a very great help, and he is a great track director. As I said, this year he's probably had more track director meetings than me, since I missed one.
He's been fantastic. Yeah. I've seen him over the years too at various events, and he's always just, again, such a gentleman and so professional. I guess I should probably give out my email address if there are any first timers listening, and
sure,
they do want to contact me and let them know, and we can just have a little back and forth about what you're interested in and what you'd like to get out of your convention experience. Like I said, I am on the Dragon Con newbies group that Kevin Batchelder runs. So if you are already a member of that group and you just make a post, hey, Zan, I have a ladybug icon. I'll see that. But my direct email address is S as in snake, K as in koala, Z as in zebra, B as in bear at hotmail.com.
Can I ask you a question? What does that have any meaning?
Yeah, it's my initials.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, it's just my initials. And back in the day, when I was trying to pick an email address, I was like, what company is not going to go out of business? Because this, I've only ever had one email address. As you can tell, like if you have a Hotmail or a Yahoo or an AOL mail, you've probably had that for a long time. Even if you have other email addresses that you route things through and forwarding and use other services and all that. I just thought, what company isn't likely to go out of business so I don't have to change my email address? And I picked Microsoft, so good call so far.
There you go.
This was back in the day when everybody was having, like, your little local ISP was your email address, and most of those ISPs aren't even around anymore.
Oh, God. Yeah, our first one was MindSpring. I don't think that's even there anymore.
Oh, yeah,
well,
that's true.
And GeoCities.
We also will make sure that we put the Facebook page for the newbies group from Kevin's podcast on this list as on our
it'll be linked up here
as well, because that'll help people find you as well.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I'm really looking forward to meeting new people this year, and seeing the convention as it grows and evolves from year to year has really been a thrill for me.
Great.
And it's always great to welcome our friends back to the podcast. Yay! People still talk to us. It's always so happy. Okay.
Thank you, Zan, for joining us. As always, it's a pleasure. And again, people can reach you, especially at the Facebook group. Probably these days, it's probably the easiest way. Look forward to seeing you again at the con. Thank you so much for you know, again, like you are, like you've already mentioned, you're an eternal member. You don't have to be doing any of this. You do it because you love it. And that's pretty much what Dragon Con's all about. We do it because we love it.
Yeah, it is.
So, all right. So until next time, this is John for Zan and Lee saying peace.
And bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share-alike non-commercial license.